Hi, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, a production of the Christian Science Sentinel, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. When I was growing up, I attended a Christian Science Sunday school, and I had a friend who was also a Christian Scientist. And I remember one day some kids coming up to us and asking us both, "Hey, I hear you guys are Christian Scientists. You don't go to doctors, do you?" My friend didn't even bat an eye. He said, "Well, when we get sick or something, we pray about it." "You pray about it? What do you do if you break your arm?" This wasn't the first time I'd been challenged like this by someone who didn't know much about Christian Science, and I guess I felt a little encouraged by how quickly my friend responded to that first question. "Broken bones? Well, we pray about that too," I told him. I remember reading plenty of stories in Sunday school about broken bones healed. I think I read about them in the Christian Science Sentinel, in fact. And after all, the Bible was full of much more dramatic healings as well. Well, the kids gave us a puzzled look and went their own way. But that encounter kind of stuck with me. It was almost as if the other kids were saying, "Okay, a headache, sure, but a broken bone?" Like there was some kind of hierarchy there, one much more serious. What can prayer do to mend a broken bone? Well, now let's consider this more deeply for just a moment. Maybe the thought has occurred to you at some point. You might be facing a challenge that has you thinking, "This is serious. Maybe too serious for prayer?" Well, our guest today on Sentinel Watch has had some remarkable experiences himself, turning exclusively to God through prayer and finding real, permanent healing. Dave Holy of Chicago, Illinois, is in the full-time practice of Christian Science, and he helps people all the time exclusively through prayer. He's also a Christian Science teacher. Dave, it's so great to talk with you again on Sentinel Watch.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Ever had one of those experiences yourself where someone asks, "What would you do if you get a broken bone?"
Yeah, I have heard that question, as a matter of fact. And I was just thinking back, to tell you the truth, I've had a few broken bones over the years. I remember one time I was water skiing and I hit the water really hard, and I did that maybe 2-3 times in a row. And a few days later, I realized I'm not just sore, I actually hurt myself here. So I called a Christian Science practitioner. That's someone, as you just mentioned, who spends their time helping people through prayer. And I called her and I said, "Hey, I think I might have broken a rib." And she said, what were you doing?" And I said, "Well, I was water skiing." And she said, "Were you showing off?" I said, "Yeah, I might have been." And she said, "Well, you know, that's a very brittle attitude." So it's kind of an interesting thing here. We think of the bones as somehow separate from spiritual life, but they're not. Everything is connected. And as soon as I realized that connection that she kind of pointed out for me, then I was healed, and I was healed quickly. That rib was healed like maybe that day.
Wow.
So it's simply a matter of understanding that you're not this body with a spiritual component. We are 100% spiritual. And Mary Baker Eddy writes, "We are spiritual beings here." And this human experience of ours is just our best perception of this right now.
That's a really different way to think about yourself for a lot of folks. I mean, can I go back to what you were saying about the practitioner asking you, "Well, were you showing off at the time?"
Yeah.
Well, what was the practitioner getting at?
Well, I think what she was sort of saying, and she said, you know, that's a very brittle attitude. I think what she was saying is that if you entertain that kind of thought, then it's not as a robust protection, you might say, as is a thought that's kind of uplifted and free. This is a line from this book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, that was written by Mary Baker Eddy, who was the discoverer of Christian Science. And she wrote this: "Consciousness constructs a better body when faith in matter has been conquered. Correct material belief by spiritual understanding, and spirit will form you anew." So what we're really kind of coming into an understanding of is that it's consciousness that enables the physique to not just change, but be healed, like be improved. Consciousness builds a better body.
This is, I think, such a radical shift from the way that a lot of us, a lot of folks think about their day-to-day lives. You know, you get up, you take your shower, you know, you go to work, you do the things that you feel like you need to do. And these all are very physical things. And you said something that I feel like we need to go a little deeper on when you were telling that story. You talked about how we are spiritual and that is expressed as a kind of human form, I guess. What is the relationship there that you're describing?
Well, yeah, we sometimes believe that we have this material body with a spiritual mind inside. But I think what you will end up understanding as you get into this more deeply is that you've just got one life. And it's a spiritual life. And occasionally you run into these interruptions, you know. Like for instance, I was walking along on a cliff trail in the rain. I was with my brother, my wife, and our dog. And I ended up slipping and falling and hitting the ground. And I could tell right away that I'd hurt myself. Now, I didn't really say much about it, but I knew I'd hurt myself and I wasn't really able to use my arm for a while. But so it was an interruption. It was an interruption in my experience. And over the next day or so, I was unable to use my left hand. And so I opened the Christian Science Journal that was for May 2021. The Christian Science Journal, by the way, is a magazine that's been published every month since 1883, I think. And every single month, it includes examples where people have been healed. And I happened to open this one for May 2021, and I came across this article that said, "Broken arm healed." And I thought, hey, I got to see what happened here. And I was reading the article. And it's this woman who'd fallen, broken her arm, and her daughter wanted to take her to the hospital or asked if she'd like to go to the hospital. But she said, no, just let me pray about this first. Okay, so her first inclination was to get herself comfortable and then to pray, meaning open thought to a spiritual reality. That's kind of the question you asked. What's the relationship between this spiritual life and this human experience? And so what she did, took this interruption and sort of said, well, let me think about this prayerfully. Let me think, what does God know about this? And she talked about how she worked it through. You can look that article up. Those things are searchable. You can find it online. But what she basically worked through was how, as a spiritual idea, she could not be broken and she couldn't be separated from her life, from God, from spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, she said, I felt a little click in my arm. And that was really kind of the end of the problem. The article went on and she actually went to the hospital and they did x-rays and stuff like that. But the healing had already occurred. And I remember reading that thinking, you know, I could use a little click myself here. And later that day, I felt that click in my arm. And from that moment, really until this, my arm has been great, fine, no problem. So there are interruptions maybe to the human experience. And rather than chase that interruption and try to fix that interruption, go away from it, you might say, look away from it into the spiritual reality of your whole life. And then allow the human to feel the click, feel the change.
Wow. Wow. What a terrific story, Dave. I've heard stories like these that have always sort of resonated with me, certainly going back to those early Sunday school days when, you know, you would read about the healings that Jesus would demonstrate all around him, raising people from the dead. And they would sometimes seem almost fantastic. And yet, Mary Baker Eddy, you mentioned her a little bit earlier, writes in Science and Health that there's nothing miraculous about this.
Well, you're right, Dave. Those healings of Jesus, do resonate. They continue to resonate. Thousands of years later, we're still talking about them. Jesus expressed the Christ. The Christ is that perfect idea of spiritual man as the reflection of the perfect God. Jesus understood that and demonstrated it impeccably. And what he did has been called miracles. But miracles in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Beccaretti, miracles are defined as divinely natural, and they must be learned humanly. So something that is divinely natural is not miraculous as much as it is attainable. It's divinely natural for us to be able to operate and walk around and have arms and legs at work and so forth and not be, you know, dealing with a lot of pain either. That's natural. You know, Dave, I had an interesting thing happen. This was, I think this was a little earlier, maybe 3-4 years ago. I had a situation where I couldn't hear in my left ear. And I somehow feel like I had broken a bone in my right hand. So my right hand was kind of useless for a while there, and my left ear was useless. And that's a very inconvenient thing, by the way, to not be able to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even hear conversations, and you find yourself having to walk around somebody so that you can get on the side where you can actually hear them. Very inconvenient. Well, anyway, I was coming home from, I live in Chicago, and I was coming home from Midway Airport on the subway. And I started thinking about the right hand of God. And I started thinking, what do I know about the right hand of God? Because there's a Bible, you know, it talks about, you know, the right hand of God is full of righteousness. And it's the right hand of God is exalted and it's glorious in power and all that. So there is this concept that's described in the Bible, the right hand of God. And I thought, what do I know about that? And it occurred to me, well, the right hand of God, first of all, it's not physical, but it's still something. So what is it? And I thought, well, it would be powerful. The right hand of God would be powerful, and it would be tender simultaneously. It would be welcoming. It would be like a hand of welcome. It would be a hand of encouragement. It might be a hand of help, a helpful hand, or a hand of generosity. It would provide direction. It would be a hand that would tell us, you know, which way to go. It would be a hand. It would be a hand of friendship, and maybe even a hand of honor, kind of a hand of integrity. Anyway, I was sort of thinking through those qualities, and then the thought came to me: that's my concept of right hand. I don't have a broken version of that. I have that. That's my only concept of right hand. And suddenly, and it was really remarkable, I began to hear. And when you begin to hear after you haven't heard, it's noticeable. And within, I would say, hours, certainly by the next day, that hand, like you could pound it on the table. It was not just getting a little better. It was like seriously perfect. Now, the thing about this is, I think there are 27 bones in a human hand. And if I went in there trying to look for the problem, I don't know. You might need a surgeon to do it. You might need all kinds of stuff. You might need a cast. But if you let consciousness construct the better body, it happens quickly and it happens like perfectly.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Your hearing was restored completely.
Yeah. And by the way, that's been 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 3 or 4, but it's been perfect. The hand is perfect and the hearing's perfect. So it all was not like a erratic or sporadic. It was complete and perfect. You know, so that's an example where I'm understanding my right sense of hand, but I'm also healed immediately with a right sense of hearing. In fact, the book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures makes an interesting statement. Truth is an alterative in the entire system and can make it every whit whole.
So it's not like just a perfect ear or a perfect hand. You don't have to have a specific prayer for any particular issue that you may be facing. What you have to do is get at what that thought is that you continue to hold on to and try to understand from a spiritual perspective who you are.
Yeah, and then the truth goes everywhere.
Dave, I love how plainly you talk. I mean, you just lay it out there, and I'm maybe you can help me with this, because I think for a long time I've felt like I've sort of struggled with this idea that I am a spiritual idea. And that may sound really radical to some listeners, but that's kind of central to what you're talking about with this spiritual healing, is an appreciation and an understanding of your spiritual nature. But then we're talking about this human experience. And I think I've gotten hung up sometimes on that, is almost as if there's a bifurcation there.
Yeah.
Like, I am a spiritual idea, but,
right,
you know, there's this human experience. And what is it? I'm trying to heal a human what? And that doesn't seem to line up for obvious reasons.
Yeah. That's, you've kind of put your finger on the real deal here. And I think we got to understand, or come to understand, or at least explore the concept and be receptive to the idea that we're actually spiritual beings here. And what we've come to believe is that we're humans and we got to fix that human body in some way.
Right.
But science and health doesn't say that. It says truth is an alterative in the entire system and can make it every whit whole. So if we will allow the truth, or as Mary Baker Eddy says, allow consciousness to construct a better body, and how does she say that happens? When faith in matter has been conquered. So if we believe we are material, then that's a problem. But if we believe I am spiritual, then I get all the freedoms associated with a spiritual life.
I don't want to get the math wrong here, but if it, maybe to the extent that we think of ourselves as human, well, that's going to be pretty much prominent in our experience. We're going to be sort of living a life where we stumble through things, and all the things that people talk about are part of being human, to err as human, and all of that stuff. But if we get a better sense of who we are, then that changes.
I think that's right. Science and Health actually states the human capacities are enlarged and perfected in proportion as humanity gains the true conception of man and God. And that's why I would encourage our listeners to just be open to what's possible. And by the way, these few experiences that I just explained or talked about, those are going on all the time. There are tens of thousands of these that have been documented and published, and they're word searchable. You can find them online right now. Go to jsh.christianscience.com, and you can find a lot of this. There's a lot of this going on. It's not just a couple of guys experiencing miracles. There's plenty of it.
Dave, I think that someone who might be encountering Christian Science for the first time, and maybe people who have been studying it for some time as well, might have this idea about that activity of prayer that you were describing. You were talking about, when you were talking about your experience with your ear and your hand, you were describing qualities of the hand, for example. And what were you doing there? Because that doesn't sound like, I think, what a lot of people think of when they think of prayer, almost as a kind of a request to God, if you will. I mean, a shorthand for it.
Yeah.
That wasn't what you're doing. You didn't seem like you were saying, God, I need to be able to hear. I need that restored. You know, I need my full function of my hand. That wasn't what you're doing.
No, I really wasn't. However, I've done a lot of that too. But that really wasn't what I was doing. I was saying, what do I know about God? That's all I was really doing there. And then when I got to an understanding of what that is, then I claimed it. And I said, that's true for me. That's the only truth about me. And so I guess what that amounts to is it's identifying ourselves as ideas within this divine intelligence, this divine universe, and are identifying ourselves properly as individual ideas of God, unique and unduplicated, but all subject to and able to reflect the same laws, the laws of health, the laws of harmony. And these interruptions I've talked about, like, you don't need to be walking around breaking your bones all the time. I've experienced some of that, and other people have too. But you can live a life of real harmony, like in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, in your education.
So wherever we feel like we're dealing with a situation that is out of sync with those eternal values of good that you were describing earlier, you know, the idea that you should be able to function 100%. That's an idea of good. Wherever you see that deviation, you're dismissing it out of hand.
Yeah.
But there has to be some authority for that, it would seem to me, right?
Yes. I think you're absolutely right. You want to, like what I did was, rather than saying, I don't have a broken hand, I went and I understood, well, what would the hand of God mean? And if you noticed, the qualities I talked about were like honor, helpfulness, generosity, goodness, and so forth. None of that is physical. All of those are spiritual qualities. And we can experience a life that is informed by and upheld by these spiritual qualities. One time, Dave, I'll tell you, I ended up, I had a cold. I woke up with a cold. But what I did, because I had some responsibilities, I decided that I was going to do and think only good all day. And I was going to do as much good as I could. And if someone was carrying something, I said, give me that. I'm going to carry that for you. Or you're trying to tie up that boat, give me that rope. I'm going to tie that boat up for you. You need to get up the hill here. Here, you follow me. I'll take it. I was like a irritatingly helpful guy. And within a few hours, I was completely free of the cold, never had another issue with that. And I was in the middle of leading a snorkeling trip, and I never had a problem with that cold all the rest of that week. And I kind of attribute that to not allowing myself to dwell on or to roll around in the mire of ill health. I just kind of went back to, let's be full of good. And in every way, think good, know good, do good, and be good.
I think something else that some people might wonder is how permanent would this be? I mean, you know, it's one thing to suddenly feel a sense of relief, but you know, I think some people may wonder or even doubt whether or not this is lasting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I will tell you that I've never really had any problem, and I've been healed on all kinds of fronts, including the ones that I've mentioned to you today. And I've never had to revisit any of that. I will tell you one time, a long time ago, I was dealing with a headache, and it was terrible, and it was debilitating. And I'd been dealing with it for days, and I'd done everything I knew how to do to try to alleviate it. And I had a job I had to do, and no one could do it for me. It was just, I was just kind of stuck. I was unable to think very well. And anyway, then the thought came to me, if I really am spiritual, and I've read that I am, and I've been told that I am, and I've prayed to know that I am, but if it's true, if I am, then there's no ache there. There's no ache there. And suddenly, just as fast as, you know, these 15 seconds here that it took me to say it, I felt better. And I thought, whoa, what just happened? And so I went back and kind of went back through that line of logic. If I really am spiritual, then there's no ache where I live, no such thing. And suddenly, after I thought that through twice, I was completely healed. Now, the reason I mention it is, that's got to be 30 years ago. And I've never had a headache like that since. I guess wow. I would say I've had some headaches, but nothing like that, nothing. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. when you rule that stuff out of your life, you end up having a freer human experience, and you're no longer sort of susceptible to that particular line of disease or discord.
Dave, what would you say to someone who's listening to this conversation and they're thinking, well, you know, I think good thoughts about myself and about others. I've known someone who's always been a good person, and perhaps that person or they themselves might not be experiencing the kind of healing that we're talking about. How would you approach that? I'm thinking maybe as a Christian Science practitioner, you know, someone who helps others. How would you approach a situation like that?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it's not because you're a good guy. It's because you are calling forth the law of God. It's a Christly consciousness, which is based on reality. This is the deepest reality. It's not because you deserve to feel better. Mm. It's because you are spiritual and you understand that you are, and you claim that truth. So we're bringing truth to bear, not just, it's not karma. It has nothing to do with that. It is the spiritual truth. Matter of fact, the Bible says, God maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So it's not a matter of whether we deserve this. It's how much of good you accept in your life to the exclusion of all else. Rule out the discord. Rule it out of your experience.
And what it, as you were talking, it just struck me, what you're really doing there is you're taking this suggestion that you can think your way out of the picture. You're actually not like sort of psychologically tricking yourself here.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, that's
right. What we're talking about is accessing permanent laws.
Yeah.
That are part of our, what, birthright, I guess, if we consider ourselves to be spiritual
yep.
ideas.
It is part of our birthright, I think. And I think you're right to put it that way. Why should we be, you know, stumbling through life? Was it Thoreau or somebody who said most men lead lives of quiet desperation?
Yeah, well, I think that's right.
That's not the life we need to lead. That we don't need that life, and nobody needs to lead that life. You mm-hmm. can lead a life of dominion and joy and accomplishment and confidence and comfort and all of the rest of that. But it does come maybe at a little bit of a cost, because you got to let go the old nonsense. Like, Dave, if I was going to come through a doorway and I was carrying a 2x4, I either got to turn that 2x4 around so it's going through the door, or I'm not going through the door.
right?
So some things have to go. You can't continue to, let's say, hate your brother. And the Bible says this too. You can't say, I love God and hate my brother. You've got to discipline yourself to eliminate hate all the way through. And I would also discipline yourself to eliminate fear, greed, any sense of lack, any sense of limitation. I would rule those out, because the man of God or the idea of God is a complete idea, has everything he's ever, he or she is ever going to need.
How do you do that? I mean, sometimes, you know, you were talking about, you know, resentments, for example, that you may have. Sometimes that can really feel hard to do, you know, to let go of those things.
Yeah, I know. As a matter of fact, Mary Baker Eddy wrote, "The Christian Scientist cherishes no resentment." That's an interesting term, cherishes resentment. A lot of people like to feel hurt. They like to feel that they've been put upon, when the answer or the real solution involves denying that it could ever touch you, that you've ever been hurt. Matter of fact, Dave, I'll tell you a real quick story. I had sprained my ankles. I might have told you this last time we talked, but I used to sprain my ankles routinely. I used to play tennis and volleyball and all kinds of stuff, and I was always spraining my ankles. And one time I thought, you know, Dave, you're going to have to think differently about those ankles, because they're not getting stronger. If anything, they're getting weaker. And so I thought, okay, I'll do that. I'll think differently. And then the thought came to me, you got to think radically differently. So I thought, okay, I'll think radically differently. What's the radical thought? And it came to me, the original accident never happened.
Mm.
Okay, now that's way radical, isn't it, Dave? I mean, I've been spraining my ankles for decades. The radical thought, the original accident never happened. And rather than side with, or you might say cherish, the old sprains, I said, okay, I accept. The original accident never happened. And what gives me the courage or the gumption to claim that, to assert that for myself or to allow myself to accept that? Well, I've studied Christian Science for a long time. And even though I had been experiencing this for a long time, humanly, and I really had, what had really been going on all that time? I was actually a spiritual idea the whole time and didn't really recognize it until that moment, standing in the woods on one foot and determining I'm going to accept the idea that I am spiritual, accident-free, and able to move forward through this experience without a lot of hindrances. And so it wasn't a big stretch. It was a big stretch, but it wasn't an insurmountable stretch for me to accept that the original accident never happened. And the beauty of this is, or the upside potential of this, was so great that I was willing to leave my sort of mortal doubts behind and accept this spiritual promise as possibly being true. Do you know, I was able to walk out of there completely healed, immediately healed. Like, you know how it says in the Bible, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Well, it was that. And since that day, that's got to be 20 years, something like that. I've never sprained an ankle, and I've never taped an ankle ever since. So so now it took a radical, almost like a leap of faith. It took me saying, okay, I'm going to reject all this evidence that's piled up over all these years, and I'm going to accept this premise that it never actually happened.
Huh.
And by doing so, I ended up with this, you know, ability to walk. And that's, you know, that's worth something.
Yeah, I'll say, wow. But what's great is you're exchanging this perception of a life full of all kinds of things that can go wrong.
Yep.
With something that is far more permanent, far more rewarding and enlightening and enriching.
Yes.
And it's there. It's there for the taking.
Yes, it is.
It's there for you to claim.
It's there for you to claim. And just think how much more flexible those ankles are being healed by truth than they might be if they'd been fused together by surgery or something, you know? It's just they're flexible, painless. It's just normal. And it gets more and more normal. Like she says, consciousness constructs a better body when faith in matter has been conquered. So it's the way it should be. It's normal. It's not miraculous. It can be learned. And I certainly recommend it.
Dave, it's always a great pleasure to get to talk with you again. I especially enjoyed this conversation. Thanks so much for joining us on Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, Dave.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. The show is produced by Amanda Kamau and Carlos Machado. Our executive producer is Amy Richmond, and our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. Thanks again for joining us.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Publishing Society, copyright 2024.